Father, we're thankful for our friend. We're grateful for his presence with us tonight. Thank you for David and Hannah. Thank you for their passion and their love for souls and for your body. We ask you to bless his words tonight and impact us in the way that you choose. In Jesus' name.
You know, I always thought about coming back. Andy, before we left, said, hey, you want to come and speak at Summer Series sometime? And I was like, sure. But I always thought about coming back here and seeing awesome relationships and how things have changed. And it's amazing how some things stay the same. And some things are so different, especially right up here. You get to see the familiar faces, but man, how they change. And you see these young people become adults, and what a blessing that is. You know, it's interesting. I can't wear a name tag that says Hannah Lee and hope to be Hannah Lee. There is no way whatsoever. Tonight is about enduring faith. It's about faith that stands under trial and continues to keep going. And Andy said, you know, it's interesting that with what you and Hannah have taken on, not just with her health, but also with the baggage that I have as well, that you guys have maintained a faith in God. And so your lives have really kind of preached to these things. But tonight, I want it to be understood, Hannah and I, our biggest dream is to serve the church, period. That is our greatest desire. We want so badly to see the church continue to grow and to be what it should be. Tonight is about a faith that endures despite the challenges, despite the trials that we may face. And so when you think about that, think about your own life for just a moment. Think about the trials that you have faced, and think about how your faith has grown because of those trials. If I stood here and I said, I believe in God, or I stood here and I yelled, I am a Christian, or I love Jesus. A lot of times we sing songs at VBS, I'm sure like y'all did last week, and you get to scream or you get to shout at somebody about something, and it empowers you. But when you talk about faith, sometimes if I were to scream those things, you might think that I'm a radical loon. But maybe if you didn't know me, maybe if you know me, you still think I'm a radical loon. But because you know me, because you have seen me, hopefully my life is an example of that. Tonight I want this to be more of like a class-type setting. So I may ask you a few questions at some point, and you feel free to answer. But there's something deep within us that would rather see an example of faith than to simply hear about it from somebody else. I would believe deep down that for you, you would probably, instead of hearing me shout, I'm a funny man, you would rather me tell a funny joke. Because sometimes we do that. Hannah will tell you, I am not funny. Despite how many times I will tell her, I really am funny. I'm a funny guy. She will tell you, it is not true. You are not funny. But when you think about those things, wouldn't you rather see an example of faith lived out despite the trials that you may face, or despite the trials that you see someone else face? Wouldn't you rather see that as an example of strength than to hear somebody say, I am faithful? How long would your marriage last if all you ever said to your spouse was, I am faithful, but the actions didn't match? You think about your relationship with God. What if you always screamed to God, but I did come to worship on Sunday, or I did come on Wednesday night? But when you leave these walls, the actions didn't match up with the faith that you claim to have in God. And so for us as Christians, the truth is, if you have to tell others what you are, it lessens the impact of the truth that is in each of us, or the lie that we tend to believe about ourselves. If I say I'm faithful, I best be faithful. I best live up to what I say. It's that idea of practicing what I preach and living out the things that I would dare to teach someone else. But in this life, what is it about having a faith that endures, that encourages somebody else? What is it about a faith that endures that would encourage somebody else? I think about Jesus Christ when he was talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. It took a great amount of conversation before he ever owned up to being Jesus. He didn't say, "I am Jesus, woman, can't you see that? Why do you think a Jew in his right mind would come and talk to you, a Samaritan, at a well in the middle of the day?" That's not what he said. He came to offer her something that she did not, prior to this time, have access to. The knowledge of him, and that example, that faith that he has given to her, allows her to live that out and share it with others. We see that in John 4. She goes back to her hometown, and she brings people out to him at the well and says, "I have found the Messiah, the one that has been prophesied about, the one that we've all heard about. I'm going to take you to him. I have found him." He found me. He found me at the well. But what's awesome about that is Jesus Christ did not say, he didn't scream out, "I am Jesus Christ. Can't you tell?" He allowed his example to her and his love for her, despite being thirsty, despite humanity. He gave to her an example of faith, something that she could take, something that was where she was, that moved her from where she was to where she needed to be. When we think about examples of faith, people gain or glean a lot from our example, how we live under various trials. Instead of hearing someone yell it, wouldn't you rather see it? Wouldn't you rather have an example over a lecture? Especially regarding faith. In fact, that is when our faith is best seen, best witnessed by others, when our proverbial or literal backs are against the wall with no way out. When all has been expended, what gives us hope still is the very definition of faith. When what is unseen to us is at work and then becomes visible to others. If you have your Bibles, you can open up. Of course, we have to go here to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I just want to read a few passages for us here. One that we'll come back to. Hebrews chapter 11. When you're given an example that becomes visual, something that you can see, a lot of people learn in different ways, but a lot of people learn a lot better when they can see it. When they can stop visualizing it here and it's actually real and in front of them. When we think about the power of the visual, especially when it comes to individual faith, individual and personal faith, we think about Hebrews 11 and think about verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." How many people in here will escape death if the Lord doesn't come first? Show of hands. How many people in here will escape death? Yeah. No one. How many people in here recognize that if we talk tonight about faith and trial, what's more consistent? The fact that you're going to have trials, or the fact that you will have a strong or steady growing faith? I can tell you there are times where my faith tends to waver. But it's only when I take my eyes off of Christ or off of the realization that trials are guaranteed. And they don't stop. They continue. I look around the room and I realize some of the people looking at me, I have seen them go through trials. I have seen them go through trials. And they have faced them with a measure of faith that only I can hope for. Only I can hope for. When you look at verse 1 of Hebrews 11, what kinds of things come to mind? What kind of things come to mind? This is a question for you. That's the truth. Assurance of things hoped for? That doesn't sound too much like a guarantee to me. And we'll get to that at the end of chapter 11 in a minute. But think about that. What else comes to mind? Yeah, so it's okay, okay? It's okay in our faith to have an expectation for or from God. If I do my part, the Lord's going to deliver. Okay? Now, it's interesting. Sometimes we get a little confused when it comes to this. We act like the hamster in the cage, right? Everything's going hunky-dory. Everything's going great. But as soon as the Lord doesn't give us what we feel like we need, oh, man. It's Lord, what is the deal? I'm doing faith. Why are you not giving to me what I deserve, right? Sometimes we do that. An exhibition of faith would say we rely on the Lord's word and we also rely on His timing. Sometimes we get left faced with a trial a little longer than we anticipated. Sometimes it's lifelong and life-altering. So how do you maintain a faith that is under trial? When you think about Hebrews 1, when you think about this expectation that when I persevere, when I am exhibiting faith, there is some kind of return on that faith, especially on a measure of faith that says, I'm going to stand under trial. Maybe not by my own strength, but I'm going to stand under trial because this is my faith. This is what belongs to me. We'll get there in just a minute. What else comes to mind? Maybe one more thing before we press on. There is definitely a means to say faith is all about laying the control in someone's hands who is bigger than everything. He's going to deliver the strength to overcome. Period. And you know that. And we're going to talk about in just a moment what's bigger than the issues that we face, the trials that we face. At the end of chapter 11, we read these two verses, verse 39 and 40, about the people who exhibited faith in chapter 11. Of some, these two verses were said, or at least written. Verse 39 of chapter 11. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. And you think, what? Wait, time out. These are the Hall of Fame of Faith people who persevered under trial, and even though they gained approval through faith, they did not receive what was promised, but not without Not in vain. Never once did anybody live a life of faith in vain. Never once. And let me repeat that. Never once did anyone who gave themselves over, committed themselves to Christ, never once did anyone live a life committed to God in faith in vain. Never once. And you say, David, how do you know that? Listen to what he says in verse 40. Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. You realize if we reach perfection, we no longer need faith in God. If these people had been given everything that had been promised to them right off the bat, what do they have to hope for beyond that? If heaven is given in a handbasket right here, right now, what are you going to hope for after this life? God has promised us. He has promised us. You live a life of faith. Revelation 2 and verse 10. You be faithful unto death, and God will give you a crown of life. And don't think I'm going to be hoping for that crown when I cross that threshold. I'll be like, Father, please just look, it can be dainty and fresh as a daisy, but or it can be rusty. I don't care. But I'll be looking forward to it. Because there are things about this life that I do not appreciate. I do not appreciate. If you turn the page over to James chapter 1, this is a verse that has become a staple for both myself and for Hannah. Because here we understand how people of faith really have to divide and conquer. Verse 2 of James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, we just talked about if those who had received the promise, if they become perfect, then what? We miss out on their example, because then they have no outward showing of this faith because the trials are over. What's awesome about James is he says, consider it all joy when you experience or encounter various trials. That word when is not if. The Bible teaches that not every man or woman is given the same measure of faith. But the Spirit has given to each a measure of Himself, so that we have gifts, we have talents, we have abilities. But the purpose for faith is not simply for your own personal work. It's also for those around you. But this is where it gets a little confusing. So we have to look at a few verses to understand this better. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. What happens when we don't know where to go? We've been faced with an opportunity for our faith to grow, or our faith to be shown, or our faith to be strengthened, and either we miss the opportunity to act on that so that our faith can grow. We miss that opportunity, or we choose not to act upon that so that our faith can grow. We choose not to stretch ourselves or commit ourselves to that moment, that opportunity. Or maybe we just flat miss it. How could I miss that opportunity to grow? What do you do? What do you do when your faith is kind of at a standstill or feels kind of stagnant? What do you do when you struggle to get up out of bed in the mornings? What do you do when you're hurting so bad you just don't feel like moving forward? What do you do when you're discouraged? What do you do when you're hurting? Or what do you do when you feel like your relationships are not what they ought to be? What do you do when you're faced with a bad diagnosis? What do you do? Well, first, the first thing you probably do, the first thing that you ought to do is pray about it. You need to talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. A person of great faith, and I guarantee you a person of great faith under trial, is talking to the Lord. Yes, sir. Some of y'all were sitting out there swimming.
I've shared this with the congregation. I heard an old farmer say one time, people talk about, you know, things are bad, you know, crops not going to be good this year, it's so dry and all this. He said, if you'll do your part, or you should, God will always do his part.
Man.
And I think that's true not only in farming and gardening, but in every aspect of our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you missed what Brother Buddy said, he was talking about Romans 10:17 talks about coming back to the Word of God. And not just in prayer. That's where we're going, by the way, which is awesome. I'm glad you said that. But for us, it's about making preparation for our hearts to receive the Word of God. If you have a poor attitude about the trial you're going through, and you have neglected to pray to God, you've neglected to let Him know about it, even though you know He knows. He wants to hear from you. It's kind of like that commitment to a relationship that you hope is going to last, and you keep saying, oh, I love you, dear, but you never show any affection. You never show any gratitude, any type of love. All you do is preach it. Sometimes a showing of that love, a showing of that affection, that practice. But returning to the Word of God, especially during the time of trial. Listen, there's not one verse in the Bible about how to cure cancer. Take this magic pill until it comes to faith. The Bible teaches, listen, faith will see you through some of the darkest times. And you don't believe me? Go back and read Hebrews 11. And go back and read those stories in the text that are talked about. Look at what those people had to deal with. Look at what they had to go through and how their faith allowed them to overcome those trials. One of the most awesome gifts that we've been given is the ability to see faith in others. But when we are able to turn to the Word of God and recognize what it teaches about living a life devoted to God, when we're able to turn to the Word and see that, it will produce in us a strength to move forward, to get up when we're hurting, to get up when we're tired. The Bible teaches us, do not grow weary in doing good. The reason for that is, good is the right thing to do. It's not about being sluggish or laying it down and saying, I'm just too tired. We grow stronger when we are in the Lord and when we choose to be His. When we step away from Him and say, Father, I just don't know about all this. This is not what I was buying into. This is not really what I wanted. He may say, look, just because you haven't gained what I've promised you yet, means you need to keep on going. You need to keep on keeping on. Work's not great, guess what? That's about 90% of Americans, okay? Those other 10%, they're just lying, okay? I'm joking. But there is a vast majority of what we do, even the things that we love, that we experience trial in. If you work with paper all day, you better prepare for a paper cut. And if that's the end of your world, guess what? It's still the end of your world. If I took a headache or a paper cut to Hannah, I said, "Baby, my paper cut. You know what she's going to do to me? I had chemo yesterday. What you going to do about that? I've had steroids, okay? You know what steroids does to a woman? Sometimes bad things, like mood swings. Sometimes she gets hot in the night and just throws stuff everywhere. Or get hangry. Today she texts me, "I am ravenously hungry." And it was a text, but I heard that. I heard that emotion. "Ooh, give me something to eat," you know. That monster within us that says, "I want you to focus on the negative." There is a faith within us that when it looks at the facts, realizes our faith is bigger than the trials that we face. That's the only reason we're able to persevere. It's the assurance of things hoped for. Of course it's not a guarantee here. If it was a guarantee here, you wouldn't need faith. It's a guarantee for what is to come. The Lord's going to take care of you. But it has to be your faith. I wake up in the morning beside a woman of great faith. I don't have to sugarcoat that. I could leave it just as it is. I've seen her hurt. I've seen her do well. But I sat beside Brother Doug this past week, and I thought about my life with Hannah as he sat there beside Miss Susie. And I thought about 60 years of marriage, and at 82 laying his wife in the grave. And the problem is his faith didn't keep her alive. But you want to know something? Her faith might keep him alive long enough to share it with somebody else, long enough to see her later. That's one of the greatest gifts Hannah's given to me. Because I see her trial, struggle, yeah. But I don't doubt for one minute that a woman of faith like Hannah, for me, is not only a good example, but she's also the assurance of something I hope for. To be able to see her again. And if that's me first and I go, or if that's her first and she goes, we have that assurance in one another. That bond that keeps us going, and it's a bond of faith. I don't worry about her. I don't, there's not one ounce of me that goes, "Baby, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure about this?" Because that's what we do together. That's what we do as a unit, as one. We are there to build one another up in Christ Jesus. But I want to tell you something. I can't get to heaven on her coattail. As much as she is a woman of faith, I have to work out my salvation with fear and with trembling. She has to work out hers in fear and trembling. I think about the words of Paul to Timothy. If you want to turn over, we can turn over there, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is also an encouragement for the youngest of the youngest in the room, all the way to the oldest in the room. Paul encourages Timothy. He says, look, your aim, your goal is to teach other people to do what is right. When I send you somewhere or I'm writing a letter to you, my encouragement to you is to take the things that would strengthen a congregation, the commands of the Lord, and teach them to other able-bodied individuals who can share them with other able-bodied individuals, and you sharpen one another together, and you have the ability to grow in faith. And he knew that Timothy, being a young man, would probably face some adversity. And so he writes to him these things. 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 and 12. Prescribe and teach these things, the things that he's already mentioned. But then he says in verse 12, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. This was a message to Timothy. Timothy, in your faith. Now, what's awesome about that is we have learned, or will learn, that Timothy's faith came from a couple of women. Not his father, who is considered in the text a heathen Greek, some translations read. But it came from his grandmother first, then to his mother, and now resides in Timothy. But Timothy never once, at least in the text, says, oh, I'm getting to heaven, y'all. My grandmother, she is a saint, and she makes great biscuits, y'all. He does not say that. It's not recorded in the text. Therefore, it has to be true. But let me tell you what else he didn't say. Hey, you know what? My mom has put up with my dad for years. And she really is a saint. And let me tell you what else. She's put up with me because I wanted to be like him, and she told me I had to go to worship. She told me I had to have a faith in Jesus Christ. You don't see him complaining about his faith. But let me tell you what you do see. You see a young man who's strong enough to not only accept direction for his own life, but also to share it with others. He's giving of himself in more ways than one. It's not just an example of faith, under trial especially. Paul tells him later on in 2 Timothy to rekindle the gift. Rekindle the gift. Sometimes that's the encouragement we need. Sometimes it's not just about, hey, I exist here and we do this thing, but it's about being engaged. It's not just about showing up. It's about giving effort. That's what faith is, especially faith under trial. Trials can make us weary. Trials can wear us out. But when our focus is right, our faith, especially our faith in God, will be strengthened. But what's awesome is we get to see faith in other people. Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. What an awesome gift that is. We call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters in whom our faith resides. I think about, and this rings true for me, Ecclesiastes. If you want to turn over there, Ecclesiastes, we're going to look at the very end of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We see this command again in the New Testament, but I really love how the preacher words it here. Ecclesiastes, God bless you. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. This applies to every person. Verse 14, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. When you think about a faith that is under trial, you think about the opportunities that exist there. for that to grow, but also for it to be exhibited towards others. When you think about ways to share your faith, sometimes you don't think about, well, let me just go be an example because I'm under trial right now. Let me just go show other people while I'm under trial how strong I can be. That's not what faith is about necessarily. Sometimes we need to hear about the faith that resides in others. We hear about the church in the world abroad and how awesome it is that other people are exhibiting their faith. And there are a lot worse persecutions in other lands than what we experience here. A lot worse. The mentality of owning your faith doesn't just come to the aged, but it's cultivated from your youth on. So I've heard, I believe, my faith is strengthened, it's growing. But let me tell you, and let me give you this encouragement. Simply having a faith that is growing is not the end. So much more the Bible teaches about how that process is supposed to get you like God. Not God, okay, that would be the perfect, which means you have no need for Him, but I'm saying like Him, godliness. If you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll very briefly read these verses together. 2 Peter chapter 1, grateful for an opportunity to share especially this with you, that as you grow in your faith, there's a process that leads you closer to God, even beyond the trials, maybe when life is going exceptionally well. Listen to the words that Peter is teaching, especially to a people under trial, a people who are struggling, Christians who are being burned at the stake or being killed in front of their families. This is a group of people who have been dispersed, being challenged in their faith. Listen to what Peter tells them. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith. So this is the foundation of what Peter is about to share with them. In your faith, that's the first thing he mentions. This is where it begins. In your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, listen to this, godliness. And you would think that being like God would be the end, but that's not where he ends. He says, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Listen to what he says in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Talk about going through trial. If you could bank on the fact that your faith would keep you from stumbling. I didn't say falling. I said even stumbling. That would be a strong and incredible faith to witness. Verse 11, For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. I don't know where you are in your faith, your walk of faith. Some people hide their faith. Some people share their faith. But tonight I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be challenged. That as you face trials, recognize that your faith is bigger. Your faith in God is definitely bigger. It's bigger than your health troubles. It's bigger than your losses. It's bigger than your gains in this life. So you share your faith with others, not just by example. You can tell them about it. Tell them about Jesus Christ, though. Don't leave them in a place where they don't know why you have the faith that you have. Lead them in a place that helps them realize why you are or would desire to exhibit goodness, to exhibit godliness. I appreciate your attention this evening. Look forward to praising God with you in just a moment.